We're going to be reading 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12, going through to 31. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way.
Forced recruitment strategy. There are some whom this strategy worked on. You're part of the Australian Defence Force. And I don't know about you, but the Australian Defence Force have always had kind of memorable ads. So back in the 80s, many of you will remember the old Army Reserves ad. Okay, you ready for this? You remember the tune? Does anyone remember that? And all these guys are going, what is he talking about? What is going on there? And I can only assume that these Defence Force ads are effective at some level, right? But did you notice the emphasis? Find your calling, broaden your horizons, do something remarkable, defy your expectations, unleash your potential, have time for things that matter, do what you love. And they have all these images of people doing exciting and fun and adventurous things that are all about keeping the borders of Australia safe. And here's the thing, they're actually recruiting into roles that are sometimes going to require people to go into battle and into war. Some people will even lose their lives for following this particular career path. And if you don't have to do that, then the cost is at least you get shipped around Australia at the discretion of the Australian Defence Force, and you have to do deployment, which requires 6 months overseas away from your wife and your kids. And the advertising strategy is still, it's all about you. Even the old Army Reserves ad from the 1980s had the tagline, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year, do something for yourself, join the Army Reserves. Which is interesting, isn't it? In order to get people to sign up for the Australian Defence Force, we need to tap into people's felt needs. And we say to them, this is what we can do for you. Join us. Join us. This is what you will get from the program. And perhaps this should be our recruitment strategy for getting people into the church, getting more people through the front doors here. Join us and unleash your spiritual potential. Something like that. This is what the church can do for you. Now, I actually reckon that's got legs. But what does Paul say to the Corinthians? Well, what we see in Corinthians is that the church is made up of many members who make up a body, and the many members in that body all work together for the common good, which is what we kind of looked at last week, right? I take it that the common good is the cause of the gospel. So have a look back in chapter 10, Paul says this. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. Right, so the common good is that people might be saved and they might then live their lives for the glory of God. But what is the body of Christ? Who makes up the body of Christ? Who is Paul talking about in this analogy? Is it all Christians everywhere at this moment in time? Is it all of the churches in Australia? Is the body of Christ made up of churches in Newcastle? And so Hunter Bible Church is the left hand of the body, and somewhere like the Granary is the right foot, and so on. Who is Paul talking about when he talks about the body of Christ? Well, the body of Christ is the local gathering of believers. Paul's not talking about many churches. His analogy is used to speak about the church in Corinth, one church. And that's how he opens his whole book. He addresses his letter to the Corinthians. He says, to the church of God in Corinth. And so he's not talking about all the churches together in Greece. He's not even talking about all the churches, plural, in Corinth. He's talking about one particular church. And if you look down in verse 27, he says to this church in Corinth, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so we, Hunter Bible Church, are the body of Christ. And so is the Granary. They're a different body of Christ. And so is the Presbyterian Church and the Anglican Church around the corner. They're another body of Christ. And so as we apply these verses, we're thinking about the body of Christ as Hunter Bible Church. So what's he trying to communicate with this body image? Well, he uses this image of the body to point in two different directions. I'm not sure if you would have picked that up, but he points to the diversity of the body. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, he says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So he's highlighting the many, the diversity. And he also points to the unity of the body. If you look down in verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So they are the two big things that Paul wants to say about the body of Christ. And those two verses kind of act as little headings throughout the passage. He wants to say there are many parts that serve the whole. His emphasis is on diversity. And he wants to say that whilst there are many parts, they're all part of the whole. And he emphasizes unity, the oneness of the body of Christ. And the reason he uses this body image to speak to the Corinthians is that there was a few issues in the church in Corinth about the way they viewed themselves and about the way they viewed one another in the church. And so the first problem we come across is one where people felt like they don't belong in church. So have a look there in verse 15. He says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not stop, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Okay, so before we rush too far into reading ourselves into this passage, I want to just pause and for us to actually think about what was going on in Corinth. Because in Corinth, this issue of belonging was a product of how people were using their gifts in church. So remember from last week, people were coming to church, elevating one gift above another gift, particularly the gifts that appeared to be more spiritual than others, gifts like speaking in tongues and prophecy and healings and miracles and all those sorts of gifts. And so with all this priority on particular gifts, you can imagine people coming to the gathering and thinking, well, I don't have anything like that that I can contribute. Therefore, I don't belong. I have no place in. They don't need me in this church. So what do we do with this issue? Well, first, Paul wants to say, you belong because a body needs all of the parts in order for it to be a body. And so just because you're not an eye doesn't mean you're not part of the body. In other words, just because you don't have one of these outwardly impressive spiritual gifts doesn't mean you have no place in the church. It doesn't mean you don't belong. Second, he then kind of builds on this idea by pointing out what the body would be like if we possessed all the same gifts. So he says, if the whole body were an eye, verse 17, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now, I think this is actually supposed to be kind of amusing, right? He's painting a picture of the ridiculous. If everyone's gift was preaching here this morning, who would have come and put out the chairs? If everyone's gift was catering, we'd have a great feed after church, but we'd never have the Bible taught. If everyone's gift was being a car park attendant, who's putting the pens on the chairs before church? Imagine what church would look like. Just say if our staff team, for example, was really, really great at one-to-one evangelism, but everybody on the staff team was petrified of public speaking. You'd have all these new converts who would turn up here on a Sunday ready to hear the good news of Jesus, and there would be no one there who is able to preach the gospel to them. What if everyone on staff was as good at in administration as I am? Chaos would reign. Chaos would reign. Later on, he kind of builds on this point in verse 28. If you have a look down there in verse 28, he says, God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to all of these rhetorical questions is no, 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 no. We're a body that is made up of many parts. And every part belongs and is valuable and makes the body work. Just this last week in Growth Group, we looked at Romans chapter 12, which I'm assuming a number of you guys did as well, which also talks about the body of Christ. And we did this exercise before we got into the study where we reflected on one of our fondest memories of church. And then we actually brainstormed all of the different things that needed to take place in order for that to happen. And the memorable thing that our Growth Group dug into was church family dinner at the city. That's what we call it, dinner after church. Church family dinner at the city. And people love it, right? And so we brainstormed that event. We thought about all the teams that made that happen, the building community team who worked out the overall program for the turn, the design team who created the images and the logos with the turn program, the people who bought the raw ingredients, the person who cooked mince on Saturday for 9 hours straight so that we could have nachos. the team that boxed the meal, not to mention the team that made church itself happen that day, who made sure that the word of God was preached that day, and the musos and the tech team who ensured that we sung praises to our great God, and the team that continued to welcome new people and then let them know how it is you can get your food in an orderly fashion, and the kids team who helped to make the process as smooth as possible by emptying out the kids' room as soon as church was finished so we could all file through there and get our dinner. The pack-up team who cleaned up after 250 people eating nachos and spilling it all over the floor. All of these people serving and using their various gifts to make that memorable event happen. If we were all cooking that day, there would be no one to welcome, no one to teach, no one to run kids' church. See, there is one body, but every part of the body needs all the other parts to function properly. The third reason we can't say, "I don't belong," is because God has placed you individually in the body of Hana Bible Church, with all of your unique gifts, talents, skills, whatever they might be, and however limited they might be. See, have a look there in verse 18. It says, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And so if you're not a hand, it has nothing to do with whether or not you belong to the body of Christ. You can't say, "Oh, I don't have this gift, I don't have that gift, therefore I don't belong." And the reason is your belonging is not determined by what it is you bring to the team. But rather, we belong because God says, "You belong." In fact, more than that, God actually gave us His Spirit to confirm that we belong. Have a look here in verse 13. He says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So every person with the Spirit of Christ belongs to the body. Now, what does that mean practically? Well, sometimes people will say, or they'll feel things like, "I don't feel like I belong." But this is actually where we need to let the Scriptures inform our feelings rather than allow our feelings dictate what we believe. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you do belong. Our emotions, right, they're very powerful, but they are not always a good barometer of what is true. So why not listen to what the Bible says? Why not believe the Word of God when it tells you you belong? You belong because God has placed you in the body of Christ and God has given you the Spirit of Christ. And so flip the logic. Instead of telling yourselves and others, "I don't belong here," believe that you belong here, because that is what God has said. And then work out how to express your belonging, how to love the body with whatever it is at your disposal. And you don't have to start in big ways, just start small. Have a conversation that is reflecting on what God has challenged you on after church. Offer to help with pack up. Turn up early and have a coffee and a chat with somebody. All these informal avenues of serving and using your gifts. One of the things that warmed my heart this week, after we did that activity of brainstorming all the various things that need to happen in order for church family dinner to take place, is the people who run those church family dinners were in the growth group. And growth group members didn't really realize that they were the ones who put all this whole thing together. And afterwards, one of the growth group members pulled aside the team leader He said, I can cook. I can't do heaps. I don't have a lot of time. But that's something I can do. Let me help. And she's joined the team. Isn't that wonderful? And what I see happen in our church all the time is that when we begin to serve other people, our emotions catch up. We begin to feel like we belong. But there's another problem in the church in Corinth. See, some people are coming to the gathering and they're thinking, I don't belong here. And others are coming with this mentality that says, I don't need you. Have a look there in verse 21. This is what he says. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And so if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So those who kind of possess these impressive spiritual gifts, they seems they were coming to church with this air of superiority, looking down on the person with less outwardly impressive gifts and thinking, I don't need you. And this can only happen when the focus is on me. When we fall into the trap of thinking church is a place for me to shine, for me to be using my gifts, for me to do what I love. I was once part of a growth group where one of the members, well, he really wanted to shine. Ironically, he wanted to show the group what authentic Christianity looked like. And so every study became a chance for him to argue his case. And what happened in that group? Well, no one ever spoke up. No one ever had the chance to properly wrestle with the passage or the ideas that were presented in the passage, because he always had the right answer. What does Paul want to say to this person? Well, he says there are many parts, but there is only one body. In other words, the church is not just about you. You're part of a body. And so you can never think or act in a way that communicates, I don't need you. Friends, this is vital to our understanding of church. Church is not simply made up of disconnected individuals doing their own thing, but each member is part of a whole body. And that means a couple of things. First, the parts that we think of as weak and less honourable and not presentable are actually to be treated with special honour. We're to value them, we're to applaud them, we're to appreciate that they too are actually part of the body of Christ. And we're to be really, really different to the world in this respect. In the world, we're always working to kind of get ahead in life. And there's only often room for people with particular skills and particular gifts who will help to advance the cause of the business or the team or whatever it might be. But in the church, we value everyone because they have the Spirit of Christ, because they're part of the body of Christ. And so we give special honor to those who may not seem impressive to our world. Second, all of the parts of the body should have equal concern for one another, Paul says. And so if you're a foot, you're not just concerned about the leg that attaches you to the rest of the body, but you have the same concern for the leg as you do for the pinky finger. Now, this doesn't mean you have to kind of run to the aid of every person who suffers with the same kind of intensity, but what it is saying is that when one of our brothers or sisters in Christ suffers, then this is actually a concern for the whole body. If there's rejoicing, then that's actually a whole body activity. And I think we've seen this. As we've planted in the city, Garden Suburb has rejoiced with us. You guys are just as excited as the city team is. And when we heard the news that you were able to purchase the house next door to Garden Suburb site, there was also rejoicing in the city. And people from the city gave sacrificially to that end. We see it when there's sickness in the family. We see people across church mourn and pray and feel concern, even though they may never have had any communication with that person at all. Because Paul says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Third, whilst Paul is addressing this very particular issue in Corinth, where certain gifts are being elevated, there are actually other ways that we may think or act in a way that communicates, I don't need you. I think one of the things we've seen since COVID is that there are loads and loads of people in Lake Mac and Newey who would call themselves Christian, but are not engaged in a local church and are therefore not part of a body. And if that's you, then you're not living out your full experience of being a Christian. You're starving yourself and you're starving the body, because there's no way for the body to care and to serve and to love you because you're not connected with any particular body, and there's no way for you to love and to serve and to have concern for the body of Christ, which is actually God's plan for your life. God saved us not to be individuals roaming around Newcastle, but God saved us and gave us His Spirit so we can exercise our gifts, our talents, our abilities for the common good in the local church. So what now? What's the next step? Well, for some of us, the next step is to join a local church. We'd love you to join us, but if not us, then you actually need to join a body of believers, a local body of believers that gather regularly, because God didn't save you to exist outside of the body. And sometimes when people come along to our church, they can feel as though they don't belong here. And the reason they sometimes feel like that is because they look around and they think that larger churches don't need anyone. Okay? They've got everything. Everything's happening here. Everything's going well here. So I'll move on where I'm needed and where I can have a place. Can I say that's not actually true? Bigger churches have bigger needs. And if you join us, there are loads and loads of ways that you can serve the body of Christ. Take, for example, Kids Church. At the moment, we're working hard to recruit leaders across church to be what we're calling unit support leaders. And we're really needing people who are willing to do 5 weeks in Kids Church and be a help to those who run Kids Church every single week. Right? That's just one example. Loads and loads of kids in our church, and we want to do a great job of loving those kids and families with an outstanding kids program. So don't let size be the barrier to you joining us well. For others of us, our next step might be to work out where we can serve joyfully and sacrificially. And look, it might be in little things, cooking for people, praying for people, offering hospitality, visiting people in a hospital, or it might be stepping up your level of involvement in the body. Now, how do you do that? Well, perhaps you might need to have a conversation with your spouse or with your kids or with one of the pastors about how you as a family or as an individual want to continue to think about serving. What can we clear out of our lives is a great question to ask that will enable us to use our gifts for the common good, particularly as we go forward into the Garden Suburb site. One of the things for us at the moment is our Year 8 daughter serves here at Garden Suburb in the morning, and we love that she does. One of the pain points of that, and there often is pain points with serving, right? One of the pain points for that is she needs to be here before I even need to be here. And also Saturday afternoon, sometimes she'll come to us and say, I haven't organised my craft, and so craft becomes me and Olivia activity or Prue and Olivia activity rather than just her. She's normally pretty good at that though. But it just means that Saturday afternoons are sometimes our brain space is thinking about serving the next day rather than having a day off. But even though there are those small little pain points and we have to kind of work our day around what's going on around her a little bit, it's actually an absolute joy to see her serving in this way. And if you guys are in youth and not serving yet, can I say jump in? It's fantastic. You will actually grow in your knowledge and your love for Jesus by serving regularly here at church. But for the most part, we are just, as a staff team, we are just so thankful for the way that you guys serve the body. Sometimes it's hard work, yeah? But for the most part, I see people serving joyfully and sacrificially. By the grace of God, we're not a church where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You've heard that stat before? When it comes to formal ministry roles, that's not the informal things, but formal ministry roles, 70% of us are serving in that way. Whether that's in admin teams or the life team or belonging teams or growth group leading or youth and kids, there are so many stories that you could tell around this area of church life. And there's even more when you count all the incidental ways that we love and serve each other. So praise God. Praise God for the work that He is doing among. And finally, I want to just draw your attention to the wonderful joy it is to be part of the body. Christ died to make you part of His body. He died a death that epitomized joyful and sacrificial service, yeah? He came to serve us and He came to give His life as a ransom for many. And then He poured His Spirit out on us so that you belong to me and I belong to you and we all belong to one another because we belong to Jesus. As Paul says in verse 12, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Why don't we give thanks? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful joy it is to be part of the body of Christ. We thank you that Christ died to make us part of His body. We thank you that He showed us what joyful and sacrificial service is when He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. We thank you that He gave us His Spirit so that we belong to you and to one another. God, this is truly remarkable. We pray that we would listen to your word, to know that we belong, and to work out how it is we might actively be involved in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.